From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called An Inspired Portrait of the Gospel Ministry. The text is Romans chapter 15, verses 14 through 33. Here, the great apostle provides a rare biographical insight into his life and ministry. In the course of these verses, he demonstrates that his life was guided by the truth of the gospel he preached. His was a life completely sold out to God. There are many aspects of Paul's ministry that are applicable to every true preacher of the gospel. First of all, Paul was called by God. The ministry was not some means of merely earning a living. It was his life, and he gave himself to it wholeheartedly. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's meditation comes from Jude, verse 24. Faultless before the presence of His glory. Revolve in your mind that wondrous word, faultless. We are far off from it now. But as our Lord never stopped short of perfection in His work of love, we shall reach it one day. The Savior who will keep His people to the end will also present them at last to Himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but holy and without blemish. All the jewels in the Savior's crown are of the first water and without a single flaw. All the maids of honor who attend the Lamb's wife are pure virgins without spot or stain. But how will Jesus make us faultless? He will wash us from our sins in His own blood until we are white and fair as God's purest angel, and we shall be clothed in His righteousness, that righteousness which makes the saint who wears it positively faultless, yea, perfect in the sight of God. We shall be unblameable and unreprovable even in His eyes. His law will not only have no charge against us, but it will be magnified in us. Moreover, the work of the Holy Spirit within us will be altogether complete. He will make us so perfectly holy that we shall have no lingering tendency to sin. Judgment, memory, will, every power and passion shall be emancipated from the thraldom of evil. We shall be holy, even as God is holy, and in His presence we shall dwell forever. Saints will not be out of place in heaven. Their beauty will be as great as that of the place prepared for them. Oh, the rapture of that hour when the everlasting doors shall be lifted up, and we, being made meet for the inheritance, shall dwell with the saints in light. Sin gone, Satan shut out, temptation past forever, and ourselves faultless before God, this will be heaven indeed. Let us be joyful now as we rehearse the song of eternal praise, so soon to roll forth in full chorus from all the blood-washed host. Let us copy David's exultings before the ark as a prelude to our ecstasies before the throne.
Name me.
years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. But don't delay. The supply is limited. Call or write for your copy today.
We should remember where all this appears in the book of Romans. This is obviously in Romans chapter 15. In other words, it comes toward the end of the section in which, starting at chapter 12, verse 1, in which Paul has been arguing, if you believe the gospel, it must control your life. It must govern all you say, think, and do. If you really believe this gospel, then your life is sacrificed to the service of Christ. There is no such thing as a part-time Christian. Understand that. He's saying if you believe what I'm preaching, if you've really grasped what it is to be united to Christ, to be justified, to have the righteousness of Christ imputed, if you really grasp this gospel of your identification with Christ, then it can't be simply something to which you give a nodding assent. It cannot simply be a matter of philosophy or a verbal expression of theology. It has to be something that rules your heart, and therefore every part of your life, governs your relationships, your visions, your actions. And in the portion before us, Paul shows us that what he's been saying is not just the stuff of sermons. In other words, it's not a case of a preacher simply getting liberty and piling on the application to the people. Paul is making it clear in this section that everything he has said to the Christians in chapter 12, 13, 14, in the first part of chapter 15, everything he has said to them about the gospel governing their lives, attitudes and actions, is true in his own life. He is a man who has the gospel as the guiding principle of his whole existence. In other words, unlike many, many preachers, and I have to say this is a sin peculiar, well, not peculiar, but certainly a sin to which preachers are peculiarly open. When you're preaching the gospel, it is natural that you would make the application that the gospel itself demands. When you're preaching what the Bible says to God's people, it is natural, if you've got any honesty in you at all, that you will expound it and you will follow it fully in that application. But it's one thing to preach it. It's another thing to live it. Paul not only preached it, Paul practiced it. And here we see him, the great apostle, presenting his body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Here we see him proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in his life. Here we see him fulfilling his God-given place in the body of Christ and subjecting every personal preference and desire to the one great objective of spreading the gospel and establishing believers in the faith of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture we get of Paul in this passage. It's a picture of a dedicated, devoted, dynamic man of God who took the ministry that God had given him very, very seriously. So much so that when you consider this passage, you find he was willing to endure the rigors of constant travel. We read, "I have fully preached the gospel from Jerusalem unto Illyricum." To a generation that thinks waiting for an extra half hour in an easy chair in an airport is a great imposition. To a generation that thinks it's hard work battling the jet lag of crossing the world in 7 or 8 hours. That doesn't sound much. When you see that lonely, weary traveler foot slogging mile after mile under the burning sun, when you see him with battered body and broken bones, for that's what he suffered for the cause of Christ, yet going on and on and on, you see him giving himself to the rigors of constant travel, facing the challenge of invading the strongholds of heathenism where no other preacher had ever gone. Walking right in to the devil's strongholds. And with it all, enduring the suspicion and the rejection of his fellow countrymen, and the misunderstanding even of his fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you see here indeed is a man sold out to God. I look at this passage and I see the evidence that Paul was a man consumed by the love of Christ and the love that he had for Christ and for his gospel. In this passage I find the word was Paul's passion. In verse 15 he says, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort. And he gives the reason, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. In verse 20, I have strived to preach the gospel. The word was Paul's passion. It is said of John Wesley that he was a man of one book. Certainly that would have been true of the Apostle Paul. The word was his constant passion. I am amazed at how far the Christian pulpit has strayed from the biblical norm. I am amazed at the trivialities and the nonsense and the foolish ideas and the wicked worldliness that have invaded the Christian pulpit, where in order to get a crowd, every dumb subject under the sun is fair game for the pulpit, when all the time the word should be the passion of the preachers. Dr. Barrett has been commenting on the official formation of the Free Presbyterian Church in North America. It is my prayer that God will give every Free Presbyterian mission minister and missionary a passion for the Word of God. The gospel, the whole gospel, and nothing but the gospel. That gospel will deal with many issues. It will set us up to take a stance peculiarly biblical in many controversies. It will lead us into many battles. But let us be faithful with a passion for the Word. Not only was the Word his passion, but the world was his parish. I read, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Where? All the way from Jerusalem to Illyricum. People of different tribes and tongues and nations. People of different cultures and backgrounds. But Paul, Jew though he was, raised in the strictest sect of the Jews. This is a wonderful insight into the power of the gospel. He was raised in the strictest sect of the Jews. The most Jewish of Jews. A man whose background, culture, education and training would have prepared him, even had he become a Christian, to remain the most exclusive Judaizer, as it were. A man who would keep the gospel to the Jews, and if Gentiles wanted to be saved, let them become Jews. There were many Christians who had that view, but not Paul. Paul broke free from the strictures and the sectarianism of his upbringing. By the grace of God, the world was his parish. I said Wesley was the man of one book. Isn't he also the man who said, the world's my parish? Put those two things together. And whether you're dealing with Paul the Apostle, or John Wesley, or George Whitefield, or any other preacher, put those two things together and you will have a dynamic gospel ministry. I want tonight to look at this passage of Scripture, not simply to follow through in detail the statements that Paul gives us about himself and working out my analysis of the passage, but I want us to look at this as an inspired portrait of the gospel ministry. For Paul gives us a number of truths about the ministry that he was pursuing that must be true in every gospel ministry. First, let me make it clear that it was a specific ministry. I don't want to take a lot of time in this, but I do want to emphasize it to some degree. First and foremost, Paul was specifically called and commissioned by the Lord for the ministry that he took up. Paul did not become a preacher in the New Testament church because he had already been a theologian among the Jews. Paul was not accorded a place as a minister simply because he had had the finest education that the Jews could have, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. Before Paul could become a minister of Jesus Christ, he received the call of Jesus Christ. And he received the commission of Jesus Christ. And that's why he was a minister. Before you can have a dynamic ministry, there must be a called and commissioned minister. Let's understand that. Uncommissioned prophets have always been the bane of the people of God. You remember in Jeremiah 23, verse 21, the Lord laments, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. And he went on to make the same complaint in similar language in Jeremiah 27 and 21. And Jeremiah 29 and verse 9, and later in Ezekiel 13 and verse 6, that's the same complaint. Here are preachers out there, here are prophets out there, and they're speaking in my name, but I never sent them. I think we have had plenty of evidence of that. Nowadays, all a man needs is a seminary degree and he's able to be a preacher. God save us from it. I want them to have their seminary degrees. But first and foremost, there must be the commissioning and the calling and the directing of God Himself. He is the Lord of the harvest. He is the one who sends forth the laborers. The Apostle Paul knew that God had called him. At his conversion, we read in his own words, Acts 26 and 16, that Jesus said to him, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. That's the standard. We have got to the place, and I realize it's not altogether unique to our day. One of the greatest theologians America ever produced fell into the same pitfall as he appealed for ministers for the Presbyterian Church in his day, going so far as to say even the minister did not need to be the man of preeminent purity or holiness. He wasn't pleading for impure preachers, by the way, but he's simply saying that there may be a whole lot holier people in the church. In other words, if you have the gift, the talent, the ability, you go be the preacher. I don't believe it. We have this notion nowadays that any Christian can be a preacher just so long as he's obeying the Ten Commandments and the moral dictates of the Word of God. Any Christian can be a preacher. That's why we have a bunch of PR men in the pulpit and not prophets. That's why we have men who can analyze what the Hebrew says and what the Greek says, but they have no message from God. That's why people can go down the line of theological exactitude, but there is not the passion or the power to do anything. Paul was a called man.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.